Bit of a wild ride today. I've got two Joe Rogan stories. Everybody's mad at Joe. Some NFT nonsense. Pete Davidson can't wait. Hi, I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Did you see that Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer plans to retire? Jimmy Fallon said, yeah, at 83, Breyer only has two options, either retire or play quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's great, Corden. Unfortunately for Breyer, this is the only job in which you wear less robes after you retire. I hope he knows that, Fallon. Breyer said he wants to retire so he can spend more time looking like a wise shopkeeper from a Hallmark Christmas movie. Trevor Noah, this is big, y'all. Justice Breyer's retiring. Yeah, probably to focus more on his ice cream brand. Kimmel, he says he's retiring. I think we know what's really going on. He's pregnant. Seth Meyers, Breyer is reportedly planning to retire at the end of the term, which would allow President Biden to appoint a successor. Mitch McConnell said, with only 3 years left in Biden's term, I don't think so. I woke up this morning thinking about Aziz Ansari's flip phone. Come on, man. Like, you don't have a flip phone. You just don't. I mean, you might have a flip phone, but you've got a second phone. I was just picturing Aziz Ansari at the airport. We're all sitting at the gate. We're all sitting on our phones. And he's what? Reading the newspaper? Making eye contact with fellow human beings and engaging them in conversation? Is he texting people old style? Remember, you'd have to scroll through A, B, C, D, E, F. Remember doing that? Come on. You have a smartphone. Also, Aziz, why are you throwing shade at Kevin Hart? Does Kevin Hart hustle? Yeah, I think he'd be the first to admit it. And Kevin Hart seems to work hard on all these projects that he does. I know I announced 3 or 4 Kevin Hart projects a day. There are so many Kevin Hart projects, sometimes I don't even mention them on the show. But I don't feel like the guy's mailing it in. Let me know if you watch the Aziz special. You can comment on the Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast Group, or I started a Reddit. Not sure yet what I'm doing with the Reddit, and it's not replacing the Facebook group. I'm just always trying to find new ways to get an audience here. So there's a Reddit. It's one word, Daily Comedy News, or the Facebook group. Let me know if you watched Aziz's special. Boy, this Joe Rogan stuff. So Neil Young asked Spotify to pick between Joe Rogan and Neil Young. Who do you think they picked? They picked Joe Rogan. At the time of this recording, Neil Young's music was coming off Spotify. Let me do a live test right now. I'm opening up Spotify. Let me type in Neil Young. Going to play My Back Pages live at Madison Square Garden. It has gotten 9.7 million streams. Does it load? It did load, so it's still there now, but supposedly it's coming off. Jim Norton tweeted, hey, Spotify, you can either have me or Neil Young. You can't have both. I'll expect a decision tonight. So now that Joe Rogan has defeated Neil Young in the battle of Spotify, I'm wondering, is Joe Rogan invincible? Like, what happens if Taylor Swift throws down the gauntlet and says, pick Taylor Swift or Joe Rogan? Will they pick Joe Rogan? I think they will, because here's why. When we civilians play music on Spotify, Spotify pays royalties to the artists. When we listen to Joe Rogan's podcast on Spotify, that's a sunk cost. They've already written the check. Now they're just making money back off ads or premium subscriptions or both. So now that they've written the Rogan check, there's no additional expense to us listening to Rogan. You know what I mean? So I think they would pick Rogan over Taylor Swift. I kind of hope Taylor Swift throws down the gauntlet just to see what happens. Howard Stern stuck up for Joe Rogan. Howard said, I don't listen to Joe Rogan. I know Joe from 100 years ago. We're no longer friendly. We were friendly at one point. I just knew him as the funny guy, comedian. I knew him before he was on Fear Factor, actually. I know his podcast is very popular, they say. Come on, Howard. Come on. I hate when Howard does that. The guy is media savvy with a capital M, capital S to say, I know that his podcast is very popular, they say. It's very popular, and you know it, Howard. Howard continued, I'm for any performer who can get any money and get paid. I'm happy for any young man or woman who can get paid in show business because so many people do not get paid. So those that can, God bless. It ain't easy. It's not an easy road, and attracting an audience is not easy. Speaking of Joe Rogan, now give this next story a second for me to unravel it. It is complicated, and Trevor Noah is involved in this one. From the Daily Beast, they write, in case you missed it, Joe Rogan, who they describe as a man who used to pressure people into scarfing down bull testicles on TV, yeah, and Jordan Peterson, who they describe as a Canadian's men's rights activist who nearly died from scarfing down too much red meat, they recently weighed in on what it means to be black, as millionaire white men are wont to do. Uh-oh. I saw the Jordan Peterson episode in my Spotify queue this morning, and I didn't listen to it because I wanted to listen to Star Wars podcast talking about Book of Boba Fett. Did you see it this week? It was pretty good. I won't spoil it. Watch it. So according to the Daily Beast version of events, and I have not heard this episode of the Joe Rogan podcast, Peterson, addressing the time that writer Michael Eric Dyson labeled him a mean, mad white man for whining about how much of a victim he was despite his millions and large platform, said it's a lie to call him white because he's kind of tan, all right, and added that Dyson was not actually black, he was sort of brown. Daily Beast continues, the exchange got even more bizarre when Rogan agreed with his guest, reasoning, well, isn't that weird? The black and white thing is so strange because the shades are such a spectrum of shades of people. Unless you're talking to somebody who's like 100% African from the darkest place where they're not wearing any clothes all day and they have developed all that melanin to protect themselves from the sun, even the term black is weird. When you use it for people who are literally my color, it becomes very strange. I'm going to have to put ears on that myself because reading it, I can't believe it. Trevor Noah commented. Trevor feigned a look of shock, stared at his hands, and said, oh my God, I'm not black. I'm not black. Joe Rogan's right. I'm like a caramel mocha frappuccino. This changes everything. He then ran off as police sirens blared, only to return and explain that the police said I'm black. Trevor continued, yeah, apparently Joe Rogan wants to know why they say black people if they're not the color of a Sharpie. The things these guys seem to be ignoring is that black people didn't call themselves black. You understand that, right? It's not like black people were like, we're black. No, in Africa, we have tribes, we have cultures, Zulu, Xhosa, Baganda, Igbo, Wakandans. But then white people got there and they're like, wow, there's a lot of black people here, a lot of black people. Then in America, they invented a rule. If you had one drop of black blood in you, that makes you black, which defined how you were treated by the government and by society. Oh, there's more Joe Rogan stuff from the New York Post. They write that Jordan Peterson has claimed that being transgender is a result of a contagion and similar to satanic ritual abuse. This happened on Joe Rogan's podcast. I'm going to have to listen to this episode. Peterson described it as a condition of sociological contagion, comparing it to the satanic ritual abuse accusations that emerged in daycares in the 1980s. I better download this episode right now in case it disappears. Joe Rogan then referred back to his conversation with British columnist Douglas Murray from The Spectator that ran back in September. On that episode, the writer said that trans issues, quotes, will be seen to be a late empire, bad sign of things falling apart. Rogan said he had an amazing point about civilizations collapsing. Then when they start collapsing, they become obsessed with gender. And he was saying you could trace it back to the ancient Romans, the Greeks. Watchdog group Media Matters has spoken out about this and said Spotify's Joe Rogan. I love how it's Spotify's Joe Rogan. Spotify's Joe Rogan once again peddled harmful anti-trans rhetoric, suggesting that social acceptance of trans people is a sign of civilizations collapsing. Wow, a lot going on over there. From Pace Magazine, they write, Chris D'Elia's back. Last weekend, he headlined at Levity Live in California, part of the improv chain of comedy clubs. The lineup included Brian Callen, who has some previous allegations against him, cycling enthusiast Brendan Schaub, and Chris D'Elia's longtime opener, Michael Lennessy. The past weekend, he performed at the Laugh Factory, owned by Jamie Masada, in a lineup that included Schaub and Theo Vaughn. He appeared on Vaughn and Schaub's podcast twice this month, joined on one episode by comedian Eric Griffin. He's back. This is how it starts. Pace tags on. Chris D'Elia's only friends right now are one, the stupidest podcasters in comedy, and two, club owners. We're motivated by two things, money and not getting yelled at by comedians. So that's interesting. Chris D'Elia getting out of what I call comedy jail. Keep an eye on that one. I got to eye roll this next story. This is from Yahoo Finance. Jambababa with two B's, J-A-M-B-B. The first digital collectibles marketplace focused on comedy. Founded with a mission to transform the way novel content is consumed. Is partnering with comedians and co-hosts Tom Segura and Christina P. on two NFT drops of Your Mom's House, one of the world's most popular podcasts. Segura said, Christina and I are constantly seeking out unique ways to connect with our listeners, making Jambababa a perfect collaborator. I'm grateful for the opportunity to offer Your Mom's House fans the content they love in a new format. I don't understand this stuff at all. So what am I buying? I'm giving Segura and Christina and Jambababa some money, and I get an NFT for a podcast. And what? I sell it to Glenn. I go, hey, Glenn, I know you like your mom's house. Give me $100 for this NFT. And then Glenn is stuck with crap. I don't get it. The LA Times wondered what Jimmy Fallon was up to. They said he was eager to show off his acquisition of a pricey digital collectible, even if it meant flouting an ethics policy that governs most NBC Universal employees. Jimmy Fallon said, this is my ape. He was interviewing Paris Hilton. No, she's not the ape. He flashed a picture of a sailor cap wearing cartoon monkey and said, it reminded me of me. So what's the deal? The monkey is one of 10,000 from the Bored Ape Yacht Club collection of NFTs. Paris Hilton showed her own Bored Ape and later gave audience members free NFTs from her own collection. Jimmy Fallon said, we're part of the same community. The LA Times says digital sleuths deduced that Fallon probably purchased the primate pick last November for about $216,000, or as they kind of explain, I don't get it, or rather, purchased a record on a digital blockchain ledger saying he owns it. Whatever, man. You guys have too much money, apparently. Can you just give the money to charity? What are you doing? Hyping it up on a show may well boost its asking price even higher. If Fallon's use of Showtime to flex his ape were to boost its resale value, it would seemingly be a case of using company resources for personal benefit. An NBC spokesperson said Fallon did not violate the company's conflict of interest policy. Meanwhile, from Black Enterprise, Kevin Hart has purchased a Bored Ape Yacht Club non-fungible token for $200,401. Aziz Ansari, can you buy NFTs on a flip phone? You probably can't, so that's why Aziz is sitting this out. But Kevin Hart, who hustles and has a million jobs and has an extra $200,401, he knows how to use his money. He now joins Paris Hilton and Jimmy Fallon in the Bored Ape Yacht Club. I don't understand any of this. Bill Cosby put out a statement about W. Kamau Bell's Showtime docuseries. We need to talk about Cosby. The statement, Mr. Cosby vehemently denies all allegations waged against him. Cosby's PR rep called Bell a PR hack and said the recent film showcased how Cosby continues to be the target of numerous media that have for too many years distorted and omitted truths. Oh, man, you know, one person accuses you of something. A lot of people accuse you of something. It's 60 women making this accusation. Gotta take it seriously. Let's head on over to Gossip Corner. Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson. They were at Jeff Bezos' house for dinner on Tuesday, according to People. Pete and Kim rode together in Kim's car and stayed at Jeff Bezos' estate for hours before being spotted arriving at Pete Davidson's Beverly Hills Hotel. Bezos hung out with the Kardashian Davidsons after a coffee date with Hillary Clinton and Chelsea Clinton at the Hot and Cool Cafe in Canoga Park. That has nothing to do with comedy. It just makes me laugh at how ridiculous all this is. Meanwhile, the Sun newspaper spoke to a source close to Kanye West who said clothes and style are very important to Kanye. And he's been telling friends that he thinks Pete Davidson wears the worst clothes ever. He's been dissing Pete for dressing in clothes from the mall. Kanye thinks it's all affecting the work he did with Kim. Kanye felt like he gave her the world when he redid her closet and thought he was helping. He sees fashion as art and wanted to bring Kim into that world. A lot going on today. It was a long first half. I was all excited to see the Paris Comedy Festival. I was doing prep for the show and I'm like, Paris Comedy Festival. Awesome. I'm going. How do I go to Paris and write this off? You know, I got to cover the Paris Comedy Festival and there's some expenses related to the podcast that I could write off to the LLC behind this whole thing. Right, right. Oh, it's in Paris, Texas, and it's this weekend. Sorry, Tower City Comedy Festival. I don't mean a dish of comedy festival, but, you know, in my mind, I was already sitting on a corner eating a baguette. The Tower City Comedy Festival, Paris, Texas, USA, is bringing in 50 comics, podcasters, and more. It continues tonight and Saturday. Some of the top comics, Todd Glass, Steve Byrne. We got to dive in one day on the whole Steve Byrne, Dane Cook thing. Dane accused Steve Byrne of stealing his essence, whatever that means. I got to dive in on that as some weekend filler one day. Bill Dwyer, Jasmine Ellis, Joey Johnson, and others. I bailed on How I Met Your Father. I tried. I watched the first two, and they were better than I thought, but I gave up 7 minutes into episode 3. There are some characters I just don't believe in. I like fake Ted, and I like the guy that owns the bar, but I don't believe the British guy is a real person that would ever exist in the real world. And I just don't believe the character. Now, here it is. I'm describing the character who is the adopted sister of fake Ted. She's the adopted sister of Asian ancestry who's divorced and a lesbian. It's like, how much can we layer onto this character? And she's still not interesting. And I realized I don't like Hilary Duff as the lead. That's kind of a big deal with the show. The New York Times spoke to Hilary Duff. Had they told you who the father is yet? Hilary said, I've given up because they're just going to cat and mouse me, bat me around. It's actually kind of hard to navigate sometimes shooting because I have moments with all the guys. It's almost like The Bachelor, but better. Everybody's a possibility, so I've given up guessing. I wonder if this thing will get renewed. I'm trying to think. I'm guessing it will because it's Hulu and what else do they have? Who knows? From Deadline, Violet Young will play the young Amy Schumer. This on Life and Beth. This show, I'm predicting, is already canceled before it airs. It just doesn't sound good. Life and Beth follows Beth, played by Amy Schumer, whose life looks pretty good on paper. Impressive to everyone she grew up with. She makes a good living as a wine distributor. She's in a long-term relationship with an attractive, successful guy and lives in Manhattan. When a sudden incident forces Beth to engage with her past, her life changes forever through flashbacks to her teen self. Young Amy Schumer, played by Violet Young, Beth, starts to learn how she became who she is and what she wants to become. Who cares? We'll go on her journey, blah, 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 blah. Amy Schumer says, Violet is the real deal. I can't wait for people to see what she can do. I think Bo Burnham's going to have a little bit of a pop here. He had a series in 2013 called Zack Stone is going to be famous. I said a bit of a pop. He's already super popular. Even more pop because people like my daughter are going to watch Netflix and see that they have posted the 12-episode series from 2013 called Zack Stone is going to be famous. That show about a wayward teenager, Zack Stone, a high school graduate who's opted to forego college in hopes of finding fame. The one hang up, he has no talent. In his quest, he's hired a camera crew to follow him around the summer after his high school graduation and hilarity ensues. That description sounds good, but again, the show came out 9 years ago. We didn't watch it then, but it's back, baby. For you Brits, the future of sitcom Staffless Flats is in doubt. You can find the show on HBO Max. I recommend it, Yanks. Jamie Dimitru said he's taking a pause from the Channel 4 sitcom. He said, I've completed a very rocky 14 months of making stuff, and I don't feel like it's important to make decisions like that so soon. I really want to let things breathe and work out when things feel like they're right to do. And if inspiration strikes or if it doesn't, I'm not putting a date or anything or a definite decision on anything. I've been working on staff for a decade, blah, blah, blah. This sucks. The BBC is removing a bunch of comedy shows from the big podcast platforms. They want you to use BBC Sounds, not the app you usually use. Programs such as The News Quiz, which I like, Dead Ringers, and The Now Show will only be available on BBC Sounds. Episodes will be available exclusively on BBC Sounds for 28 days. Then they'll go on the other platforms. So if you like listening to month-old news, keep listening on Apple Podcasts. That sucks. I hate when things are on different platforms. For example, if Joe Rogan's podcast were available everywhere, I would have already listened to it. It's just a pain to go to that second app. And this just made me laugh. Nicolas Cage apparently owns a crow, and the crow insults him, at least according to the story Nicolas Cage is telling as he promotes a new movie. Nicolas Cage says, the crow is taking to call me names. It's comical, at least it is to me. When I leave the room, he'll say bye and then go, ass. Crows are very intelligent, and I like their appearance, the Edgar Allan Poe aspect. I like the goth element. I am a goth. This weekend, tomorrow, part 4 of the look back at Late Night with David Letterman. That show turns 40 on February 1st. David Letterman will be on Late Night with Seth Meyers on February 1st. So that's part 4. I didn't do it last Saturday because Louis Anderson died and I bumped it, but that's in the can. Sunday is an episode of Comedy Pub Quiz. That one all Letterman themed. So all Letterman all weekend. On Monday, I'm going to update the Comedy Power ranking. So follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, wherever you get your shows. Jump on the Reddit. One word, Daily Comedy News. Facebook group, Daily Comedy News Podcast. Instagram, @Daily Comedy News. See you tomorrow.